Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, the Taoiseach has said a lockdown for unvaccinated people is not being considered despite rising COVID case numbers and hospitalisations. However, Micheál Martin has also said he will support making antigen tests more affordable, but not free. That comes as the Irish Pharmacy Union has called on the government to subsidise antigen tests. The government is also considering a reboot of some COVID measures, as the number of people being treated in hospitals for the virus is now at its highest level since February, with 617 patients now hospitalised with the disease. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport, coming up for you within the next half hour. To our top stories this evening, however, and the Taoiseach says a lockdown for unvaccinated people is not being considered by government despite ever-rising COVID case numbers and hospitalisations. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID meets this evening to discuss new measures aimed at reducing infection rates. They'll be discussing the expanded use of COVID certs and antigen testing, as well as asking people to work from home. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says tougher restrictions for the vaccinated, unvaccinated, like in Austria, are currently not being looked at.
I will look with interest at how Austria implement that. It seems I don't anticipate we're going on that route. We've 93-94% vaccinated. They're in a different situation. I think they're 64-65% vaccinated, which means that they have a big issue with a significant number of people who are unvaccinated.
The Taoiseach has also said he will support making antigen tests more affordable, but not fully free, as part of new measures being discussed this evening to tackle the high rates of COVID in the community.
There are lessons to be learned from how antigen tests were deployed in the UK, and so certainly I would support subsidisation of antigen tests and making them more affordable, essentially, for people over the coming period in particular and getting through the winter period. I think that would be important.
The Irish Pharmacy Union, meanwhile, says that COVID antigen tests should be subsidised for the public. Reducing the cost of the tests is being considered by government as part of new measures. NPHET last week recommended using them twice a week if a person regularly engages in high-risk activities. Secretary-General of the Irish Pharmacy Union, Dara O'Loughlin, says Ireland should follow the example of other European countries when it comes to antigen tests.
They should certainly be subsidised. We can't encourage people to do something and recommend that they do something that ultimately a lot of families can't afford to do. There's an opportunity here for the government and the HSE to reduce the cost of these for people who have to use them. Whether or not they make them free would be a government decision, but they could certainly make them a lot more affordable, which is what governments all across Europe have already done.
The government is also considering a reboot of some COVID measures this evening, as the recent surge in COVID cases had led to fears about more harsher restrictions being introduced. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien says this is not the plan, but he says some measures could be changed to work better.
We need to have a reboot of some of the measures, in my view, in relation to how, let's say, the COVID digital cert is actually implemented and used. And the Taoiseach and others and the Minister for Health have been meeting through officials with those sectors in particular where people, like hospitality, to make sure that's done. Mask wearing as well is important. And the further rollout of antigen testing.
The number of people being treated in hospitals for COVID-19 in the Republic of Ireland is now at its highest level since February. 617 patients are hospitalised with COVID, with 117 of those now in ICU. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid has said today the hospital system is under severe stress, with around 300 COVID patients receiving enhanced treatment methods.
There's about 300 of those are receiving what we would call enhanced supports. So in some cases, that is in a high-dependency unit, or in other cases, it's receiving supports on the ward. And those supports can include and do include non-invasive ventilation. Now, that might sound not too bad, but it's a highly uncomfortable mask strapped quite tightly to a face. So it's quite a stark situation in our hospital right now.
1,457 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in Northern Ireland today, meanwhile. It's also been announced that 5 more people have died from the virus there over the past 24 hours. 412 COVID patients are in hospitals in the north, with 37 in ICUs. And those case numbers come as an under-pressure hospital in Craigavon had to turn away ambulances yesterday. That's led to further calls for COVID restrictions to be reintroduced in the north. Sarah McKinley has more.
Staff exhausted, patients frustrated, not enough beds and too long a wait. It's the picture being painted at hospitals right across Northern Ireland as COVID pressures plus the usual winter ones take their toll. Yesterday, the situation at Craigavon Hospital got so bad, ambulances had to be diverted elsewhere, with an exception made only for patients arriving with immediately life-threatening emergencies. Staff who were supposed to be on a day off were also drafted back in. This morning, the Trust's chief executive has said they were close to declaring a major incident and has reinforced the message that hospitals are on the edge.
Northern Ireland's booster vaccination programme has been extended to all 40 to 49-year-olds who have completed their initial vaccination programme. Over 200,000 people in the north have received a COVID vaccine booster so far. It was also announced today that 16 and 17-year-olds in the north will be offered a second vaccine dose administered at least 12 weeks after their first jab. Letterkenny University Hospital was the second most overcrowded hospital in the country today, with 43 admitted patients awaiting beds there. Of those, 8 were on emergency department trolleys. Also, there were 19 people awaiting beds in Sligo, with 12 in the ED, giving a total northwest number of 62 patients waiting beds today. The latest INMO figures show that 401 people were waiting for beds at hospitals across the country nationally. Nursing homes will be able to ask visitors for vaccination certs from today to reduce the COVID risk to residents. However, there are some exceptions for those providing essential services and also for compassionate grounds. Questions have been asked as to whether UK vaccination certs will be accepted at nursing homes. Anne Gallagher of Hillcrest Nursing Home in Letterkenny says any proof of immunity will be accepted there. She says the authorities are catching up with what's been happening locally for some time.
They need to show that they have COVID immunity. The majority of our visitors to our nursing home certainly will have had their COVID vaccinations, and indeed many of them will have their boosters at this stage. So I certainly haven't had any problem. We have always been asking people when they were visiting whether or not they have COVID vaccination, and 99% of the visitors have had vaccination and are well up to date with their vaccination and their vaccination status.
So is it a case really that this is guidance that's catching up with predominantly what's already been happening on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely.
Police say that 2 people in Derry, a man aged in his 20s and a woman aged in her 50s, have been arrested as part of an investigation into a death in the city last week. A man was found dead in the early hours of Friday morning, the 12th of November, in the Moss Park area of Derry City. The 2 people arrested are currently being held in police custody, as the police say they're currently in the early part of their investigations into the man's death. Anyone who may have any information regarding the case is being asked to contact police on 101. A member of the Mica Action Group says comments made about her in a Department of Housing email were disappointing. Over the weekend, the Independent published details of emails sent by housing department officials regarding the defective block working group meetings. One such email was mistakenly sent to Mica campaigners in the working group that described campaigner Eileen Doherty as wanting to cause a scene. She says it showed a lack of respect.
Well, obviously we are very, very disappointed at the very unprofessional manner in which the Department of Housing officials really viewed the family representatives from both Donegal and Mayo and the working group. We're very disappointed. Really, we entered into those talks with a very sincere intention to find a solution to the Mica crisis, and it's pretty apparent from those emails that that the department officials did not have the same perspective in mind. They did not enter into those talks, you know, with showing us respect and really in a professional and transparent manner. So it's very disappointing.
Within the emails released by The Independent, it's believed that the principal officer in the Housing Authority, Paul Benson, accused you of wanting to, quote, cause a scene. What personal impact does that have on you, having worked so hard to bring proposals to the working group to try and find a solution with government and work with government? What effect does that have on you?
Well, it's very disappointing. It's very shocking as well, to be honest with you. Very shocking that that's how they really viewed us behind the scenes. I mean, that response That comment was made in response to a request by me on behalf of the homeowners for us to actually be shown a draft version of the working group report, which was going to be produced at the end of the working group process. They refused repeatedly to show us a draft version of the working group report, even though we were equal members in the working group with them. And those emails, that email about the fact that they thought I was going to cause a scene is in response to repeated requests by me for to see that document. We never saw the document. They never afforded us the respect to see the document before they release it publicly. So again, that just goes to show you that they never really treated us. They never treated us on the same level as themselves, which is very, very disappointing.
It's emerged that the car park at Glenveagh National Park reached full capacity on 24 occasions this year, meaning cars are being turned away at the gates. After getting these statistics in an answer to a Dáil question, Donegal TD Piers Doherty says urgent action must be taken to ensure that locals and those who wish to visit the national park are accommodated. Minister Dara O'Brien told him a draft visitor experience development and management plan is currently being drawn up. Deputy Doherty says that is welcome, but action is needed now.
This is an embarrassing development here, and particularly as more and more people were encouraged to staycation and people were experiencing the natural beauties that we have in Glenveagh National Park is indeed one of them, with nearly a quarter of a million visitors coming per year. But on 24 occasions this year, car park was full. And what that meant, in essence, was that people who travelled landed at the Glenveagh National Park only to be told that there's no parking for them and had to go on their way back home. There's plenty of capacity there to expand the car parking facility. And that's the issue that I would raise with the Minister to make sure that that area is prioritised.
Now, the Minister has told you that a plan to enhance the experience of Glenveagh is being drawn up at the moment, and that will include enhanced car parking facilities. Are you happy enough with that, or is more needed?
It's good that there is a wider plan for Glenveagh National Park, and it goes way beyond, obviously, the car parking facilities. So they're going to build a new restaurant, shop and visitor centre and repurpose many of the old buildings there along with other works. But part of that is the expanding the car parking capacity. But what we now need to hear from the Minister is when is that going to happen? Glenveagh National Park remains open. It's no point being open if people can't get out of the car and experience what is in an asset here in Donegal. So we do need to hear from the Minister in terms of the time frames for expanding that car park capacity. And crucially, we need to have some interim solution before the peak of next year's season.
The time is now 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break, and the latest in sporting news is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get the Donegal GA Supporters gift box now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time's 5:15. Time to go over to Oisin Kelly with the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. Northern Ireland stand between Italy and automatic qualification for next year's World Cup. The sides meet at Windsor Park tonight, with Italy needing to better Switzerland's result against Bulgaria to secure top spot in Group C. Northern Ireland boss Ian Barraclough says it adds extra spice to the game in Belfast.
Massive game for everybody. For us, we're taking it obviously as seriously as possible. Take us into the Nations League campaign next year and on to the next Euros gives us a good sound platform to build from. So hopefully we come out with a positive performance.
Also tonight, England are away to San Marino, needing only a point for automatic qualification from Group A. Scotland already have a playoff spot in their back pocket ahead of tonight's game with Denmark. That is taking place at Hampden Park. And Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny is targeting a strong Nations League campaign next year. The side beat Luxembourg 3-0 last night, with Shane Duffy amongst the goals, as they ended their World Cup qualifying campaign in third place in Group A. The Nations League is scheduled to start next summer, followed by Euro 2024 qualifiers the following year. Kenny believes Ireland are well positioned to compete in both competitions.
But we're putting ourselves in place to have a strong Nations League campaign and leading on to that, you know, a really strong campaign to qualify for the European Championship. So that's the way I've always viewed it.
Cross Channel, Dean Smith says his aim at Norwich is to keep the club in the Premier League. His position as manager
was confirmed this morning at Carra Road. The Canaries are bottom of the table with just one win from the first 11 games this season. Jermaine Defoe is amongst those taking temporary charge of Rangers until a permanent manager is found. Brian Gilmore, David McCallum and Colin Stewart are also helping to look after first team affairs following the departure of Steven Gerrard. Giovanni Bran Bronckhorst is believed to have held talks with the club about the vacant position over the weekend. Joey O'Brien has been confirmed as Damien Duff's assistant at Shelburne. The former Republic of Ireland fullback will quit as a Shamrock Rovers player after Friday's Premier Division game with Drogheda. O'Brien joined Rovers in 2018 and has racked up 85 appearances for the club. Well, it certainly was a successful weekend for Finn Harps underage teams, as their under-14s and under-15 teams won the League of Ireland Cup in their respective age categories. Harps under-14s were first to get their hands on silverware after they beat Wexford Youths 4-2 on penalties. The game finished 1-1 with Carrigafrill getting the goal for the Harps in that one. The under-15s had a more straightforward victory as they defeated Cork City on a 2-0 scoreline. Head of Academy Kevin McHugh said it was just rewards for everyone's efforts.
Brilliant day for the club and the academy all around. Driving, I suppose, going down in the bus yesterday morning. Yeah, we were chatting as a bunch of coaches going down. We said if we can get one of the teams over the line, it would be fantastic, you know. But they end up getting two teams and the way we won it in the end was absolutely fantastic, you know. And I'm delighted for the boys and the coaching staff who put in a hell of a lot of effort since way before lockdown, all the Zoom calls and all the Zoom sessions and everything. And I think that's real hard because it doesn't just come back to the stuff we've done on the field. I think it's all the stuff we've done off the field. So that's good. It's good at times when you put in the effort and you get the reward. So that's very good and satisfying, you know.
Under rugby, Ireland captain Johnny Sexton has been ruled out for up to 6 weeks through injury. The Leinster out half twisted a knee and ankle in Saturday's win over New Zealand. Connacht's Jack Cardy had been called into the squad by Andy Farrell. Ireland play their final autumn series game on Sunday against Argentina at the Aviva Stadium. Well, celebrations will be continuing in Downing's today after they secured intermediate football for next season by beating Letterkenny Gaels by 9 points in Sunday's Donegal Junior A Championship final. Having lost in last year's decider to St Mary's of Convoy, Ben McNutt said they worked hard to make up for that defeat this time around.
Yeah, thankfully put on a good performance there today. Got off to a flying start and happy to get over the line, right in the wrongs from last year.
Yeah, and you know, it does show you what can happen over the course of a year and the course of a season.
Exactly, at the start of the year we decided we wanted to get back and won the junior. Every man put the shoulder to the wheel and put on a big effort since the start of the season. Thankfully we've done that.
But to win it in the manner you did today, put on a performance,
you know,
that, probably as good as we've seen in a junior final in a long time.
Yeah, I suppose that's an added bonus. To win in that manner, you know, just it shows how hungry we were to get back and to win it, you know, to do it in such fashion.
Well, there's also those celebrations in Dromore today as well, as they lifted the Tyrone Senior Championship title for the first time since 2011. Dromore manager Colin McCullough says the team can be successful again in the coming years.
Yeah, well, look, the age profile of the team is definitely positive and definitely very encouraging for us. But it's we'll enjoy this one. And our aim would obviously, like every club's aim, would be go at it again next year, but we'll enjoy it today. And look, those boys can achieve whatever they want to achieve. It's in their own hands. They have youth on their side, and whatever they want to achieve is possible.
And they have a great opportunity now. They have a few weeks to prepare for the Ulster club, you know, so they can give that a real rattle.
That's right. That's for another day as well. It's unusual to the times that we would have played in the Ulster club. It was nearly a 1 week turnaround. And you were straight back at it again. It was hard to do your celebrations and then be prepared again for that. So, I think it's 4th of December, 3 weeks' time. So it gives a wee bit of time. And look, we'll enjoy tonight and enjoy tomorrow. And then we'll see where we're at in the middle of the week and start preparing for that.
And there's more Gaelic games here in Highland tonight. Another action-packed EL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney talking club championship football. This week, Brendan reflects on the success of Clonaily, Downings and Dromore with match reaction and guests Barney Corn and Michael McMullen. You can tune in on air after the 7 o'clock news, and we'll also be available online on our website as well as a podcast. And don't forget, you can, of course, recap all the weekend sporting action. It's available to view and to listen back to, and indeed watch as well. It's on our website, HighlandRadio.com. Ulster GAA today confirmed the fixtures for the Provincial Championship first round ties next weekend. Donegal interest come in the form of Clonmacnoise and St Eunan's. Clonmacnoise will play the first round of the Ulster Intermediate Club on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny against Derry champion Steelstown. That one throws in at 1:30. Tyrone Junior champions at Cookstown Father Rocks are also playing on Saturday against Sean McDermott's the Monaghan champions. It's in Clonus and throws in at 1:30. And then on Sunday, our feature match at the weekend, St Eunan's, the Donegal senior champions, up against Glen of Derry at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, throws in on Sunday at 1:30. Integration of women's Gaelic games into the GAA has moved a step closer today. It's been confirmed that the GAA will oversee the Camogies Association's sponsorship and broadcast right deals for the next 3 years. And finally, on the college's front, one of the LYT teams is set for action this evening at the Jordanstown campus. The men's second year Gaelic football side are playing at University Ulster. That is in the semi-final of the second year competition. Gets underway at 7:30. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. And finally in news, residential property prices here increased more sharply in the border regions than anywhere else in the country in the year up to September. The price rise in border regions was 21.9% compared to the national rise of 12.4%. The latest CSO figures show prices in Dublin went up by 11.5%. Chief Economist with KBC Bank Ireland Austin Hughes says there was a rapid increase in price inflation in the summer months especially.
It's a phenomenon we're seeing worldwide. It's not unique to Ireland, but the scale of increase in recent months in Ireland is quite dramatic. And over the last 3 months, the sort of annualised pace of increase is running maybe at twice the sort of year-on-year increase of 12.4%. So really rapid increases in prices in Irish properties.
And now the weather, generally dry this evening and tonight, with clear spells to start. However, cloud will build from the west overnight, with patchy drizzle developing on coasts towards the morning. Lowest temperatures between 4 and 7 degrees overnight tonight. To this evening's main headlines yet again, and the Taoiseach says a lockdown for unvaccinated people is not being considered by government, despite rising COVID case numbers and hospitalisations. Micheál Martin has also said he will support making antigen tests more affordable, but not free. The Irish Pharmacy Union has echoed that call, saying that COVID antigen tests should be subsidised for the public. The government is also considering a reboot of some COVID measures this evening, as the recent surge in COVID cases has led to fears about restrictions being reintroduced. And the number of people being treated in hospitals for COVID-19 is now at its highest level since February. 617 patients are in hospitals with the virus, with 117 of those in ICU. That's all from the Highland News Desk for now. We'll have the latest news headlines again coming up at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, November the 15th. The death has occurred of Martin Holmes, Sandy Row, Castlefin. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 p.m. this evening, Monday. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. Going to St Mary's Church, Castlefin, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Kennedy's funeral directors. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Margaret Coyle, 30 White House Park, Derry, and formerly of County Fermanagh. Her remains will be reposing at her residence from 5 p.m. this evening. Requiem Mass on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Fawn, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Margaret's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The wake is private to family and friends only, please. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member, or Murphy funeral directors. The death has occurred of Patsy Breslin, Ihi Ardra. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m.
going to the Church of the Holy Family Ardra for 12 o'clock funeral mass, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations, if desired, to coronary care, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra, or any family member. The death has taken place of Kathleen McLaughlin Ní Roan, Breda Glen, Mayville. Funeral from her home tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church in Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The funeral mass can be viewed live at seeitonline.ie. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Tommy Porter, Monaghan, Ardra. His remains are reposing at McCabe's Funeral Premises Ardra today from 5 to 8 p.m. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. going to the Methodist Church Ardra for funeral service at 2:30 p.m. Interment afterwards in St Connell's Churchyard, Ardra. Removal is private to family only, please. Donations, if desired, to the church funds, care of Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra, or any family member. The death has taken place of James Toner, Drumdeevan, Termin. James's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow for Mass at 12 noon in St. Columba's Church, Termin, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed on the St. Columba's Church, Termin Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Tom Hodgson, 408 Victoria Road, Ballymagorry, and formerly of Derry. Funeral service in his home tomorrow at 1 p.m. Interment afterwards in Derry City Cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.